Welcome to Body Matters Podcast, where we bring to you raw and inspiring content on all things to do with body positivity and eating disorder recovery.
My name's Jessie and I'll be continuing on with the podcast for a little while. But before we begin, I'd like to acknowledge Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people as traditional people and traditional owners of this country. We acknowledge with gratitude First Nations communities for their continuing care and connection to the lands or waters with which they have protected for thousands of years. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, and recognize that First Nations sovereignty was never ceded.
On this week's episode, I am very excited to be introducing this week's guest, Amy. Amy is a certified yoga instructor and the director of Creative Mental Health and Yoga, where she currently runs eating disorder recovery classes with yoga both online and in person. Amy has completed a Bachelor in Counselling and is an accredited member of the Australian and New Zealand Academy of Eating Disorders. Amy is very passionate about yoga as a tool in their recovery from an eating disorder, believing that yoga is an incredible pathway to connect back to the body. So let's get into it.
Hi.
Oh, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
So welcome to the podcast, Amy.
Thank you.
Are you ready to jump right into it, I think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you be able to start us off by telling us a little bit about yourself and maybe some things that you do to keep well?
Absolutely. So yeah, I'm Amy. I use she, her pronouns, and I live in Melbourne on Woiwurrung and Wurundjeri land. I'm currently on maternity leave, so I've got a 5.5 month old baby. And a couple of things I do to stay well are to make sure I get alone time that's not going to be interrupted, reading my book. Always a really big thing, cuddling cats and some coffee dates with friends.
Oh my God, I love animals. They're so underrated. They really are so soothing.
Oh, they're the best.
It's really hard to cuddle a cat. I will say sometimes if you get scratched.
Yes. Sometimes it's not the easiest, but no. You know, when they're willing participants, it's good.
Still love, right?
Yeah.
So each week on the podcast, we like to ask our guests about a challenge that they've recently experienced and how they have managed to overcome it.
So probably, yeah, the most recent challenge has been kind of, you know, the continuous adapting to life as a mum. So it's my first baby. So managing my time and my needs as well as, you know, needs of my baby and my husband as well and two cats. So I found kind of navigating the isolation of being home alone, just me and baby for, you know, a lot of the time. So I found that quite isolating. And the days can be really long. So that's kind of the most recent challenge that I'm sort of working through.
And it's all new as well.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you have people you can draw on for help or anything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been really, really lucky in terms of kind of family and friends. And most of my friends don't have children, but they're just as supportive. They, you know, love my baby as if he was their own. So they're really wonderful.
I think that's all that matters, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
So would you be able to give us a brief explanation of what yoga is?
Yeah, sure. So yoga is a practice that aims to unify the whole self. So particularly, you know, looking at unifying the mind and the body. And there are lots of elements to yoga, but most people just see kind of what's called the asana, which is the movement and which is the shapes and the poses that, you know, you kind of see on social media and stuff like that. So yeah, that's the asana, which people think of kind of primarily, but it's actually one part of seven different, what we call seven limbs of yoga. So yeah, it's just one little part, and the rest kind of fill in the gaps around meditation and breath and, you know, deeper levels of meditation and enlightenment as well.
So why might yoga be helpful in the recovery from an eating disorder?
So as I mentioned, that yoga is a practice of you know, unifying. So when we're looking at unifying the mind and the body, it's actually a really important part of kind of healing, because when we're unwell, we start to be really at war with our body. And then, you know, we can easily also get very distressed with kind of what's going on in the mind as well. We can become a bit more of a, like a passenger to, you know, the eating disorder. We might be able to see the thoughts and feel them and all of that sort of stuff, but we struggle to actually intervene. So yoga is a chance to kind of rebuild that relationship you have with the body and the mind in a really gentle and very self-paced way as well.
Because you can become really disconnected from your body.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, having an eating disorder really is a trauma. It's a traumatic experience. And, you know, the trauma is very, very much an embodied thing. You know, you'll have people that struggle to actually registered different sensations in their body because they're so disconnected from it. People that will struggle to recognize themselves in a mirror, even, you know, that's a really kind of extreme example, but you know, because the level of dissociation and disconnection to the self is so full on.
And when you do yoga, you really start to notice those sensations and feelings in the body, and when your mind quiets, you can really kind of
Yeah, absolutely. Which can be a really intimidating part of it, which is often what people kind of struggle. That's a bit of a hurdle that people have to, you know, struggle to get over, is because they go, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm actually ready to have a quiet mind or to feel all of these feelings or feel all these sensations as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely all a journey, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
So who might be suitable for yoga classes as a tool for treating eating disorders, negative self-talk, and maybe body image concerns?
So I'm probably biased, but I would say that most people could benefit from yoga. It is an approach that helps us to kind of step out of intellectualizing. So often if you're someone that gets stuck in your head a lot and you're wanting to try something outside of, you know, traditional therapy environment to kind of have as a little add-on, it's a really, really wonderful thing to explore. If you're really keen to kind of explore the embodiment of wellness and recovery, you know, we can, like I said, we can think and we can, you know, do all the activities and the exercises and the thought challenging and, you know, the meal challenges, whatever it is for you, but it's a chance to kind of explore what the embodied sense of wellness might actually feel like, which is a strange concept to intellectualize because you can't intellectualize it. So that being said, I think, you know, in general with yoga, you can take out from it what you need. So it's not necessarily like, okay, this is going to benefit X, Y, and Z. Yes, you know, we've got some really lovely benefits that are known in there, but you know, if there's something that you're hoping for to get out of yoga, you know, there's kind of a way to seek that and to find that in it.
And you may notice over time as well.
Yes, absolutely.
So how might yoga help with settling negative self-talk thoughts?
So one of the sort of guiding principles of yoga is called ahimsa, which refers to nonviolence, kindness, and compassion. And so that's both to the self and to kind of the world around you as well. So whenever we're practicing yoga, whether that's through movement or through breath or through meditation, we're always keeping this concept of ahimsa in mind. So we want to work to kind of soften that self-talk. We want to give ourselves permission to move away from, you know, that self-chastising, that real nastiness. And we want to give ourselves an invitation to move towards a different way of talking to yourself, if and when you're ready to do that. Because that's a really confronting step in itself, to step away from an eating disorder in any regard is really challenging. So of course, you know, to even just edit how we start to relate to ourselves, how we start to talk to ourselves can be a challenge. But, you know, all of that kind of tied in through, you know, movement and breath and meditation is just a different approach than doing it in that kind of traditional therapy sense.
And breath's really powerful as well.
Very, very, yeah.
So what's a trauma-informed approach to recovery from an eating disorder in yoga mean?
So there are a few key elements that we kind of include in the classes to make sure that they are trauma-informed. And the first is choice. So every movement, every moment of engagement in the class is absolutely your individual choice. So participants can stop at any moment. They can leave the class if they want. They can just lie down and close their eyes. Really, they make it whatever it is that they want from it, and they can stop at any time. So choice and agency is really, really essential. Choosing and kind of controlling what they engage in. So they're going to set their own limits and their own boundaries, and fostering a safe environment is then, you know, another really key part. And so obviously safety feels different for everybody, and for some people they aren't sure what safety feels like as well. But simple things just like assuring participants that no random people will be walking into the room, finding where exits are. I'll often tell people that, you know, the door is locked from the outside, but it's unlocked from the inside, so they can get out, but nobody's going to be coming in. Orienting people to any noises. So if there's like an air conditioning unit, or, you know, something that's tapping outside, or, you know, people chatting in a street nearby, just orienting people to those noises as well. So taking into consideration that sensory sensitivity, that hypervigilance, hyper-awareness that people can be experiencing. Closing down the eyes is never a requirement. It's always an option. A lot of people don't feel comfortable closing their eyes, so it's just an invitation to, and never kind of something that you have to absolutely do. There's also just ways in which I kind of talk and invite movement into the body and refer to the body in ways that are perhaps less challenging or less confronting. So for example, if we're going to rest our hands on our knees, there's an option to perhaps face the palms up towards the sky, or curl the hands in the fist into fists, or rest the hands on the floor as well, rather than actually touching the body. So there's a whole lot of kind of little bits and pieces that get put together to make it an environment that is as informed by, you know, all of the diverse experiences of trauma. We can, you know, never ensure that it's going to be amazing for absolutely everybody. But I also really encourage people to tell me, look, hey, I don't like having my back to the door, or whatever it is. So I really, you know, invite people to kind of have it as a bit of a choose your own adventure, you know, based on what is going to be most comfortable and most safe for you.
I love that softness and the safety element.
Yeah. And, you know, yoga studios can be really intimidating to walk into. You know, everyone's there in their Lululemons, and, you know, it can be quite an intimidating environment. So I think these classes are kind of a bit of a gateway to, you know, if people want to eventually go on to, you know, their local studio and stuff like that, this is kind of a way to start being oriented to yoga and the yoga world without, yeah, kind of the intimidation of walking into some of those bigger studios.
And new people as well. It might be the first time that people are kind of engaging in a group.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And what is that kind of like, the relationships then?
Well, I mean, we usually have a little bit of a chat at the start and at the end. Everybody's always lovely that comes, you know. It's a very warm environment. And I think the fact that there's already a given that everybody is struggling with something, so there's no pretense. Everything's just... it's very real. I did run a retreat last year for people recovering from an eating disorder, and it was a yoga retreat. And that was really beautiful because there was just so much depth into the conversation. There was so much kindness, so much empathy. It was just this beautiful space of kind of understanding and respect for one another. And then, you know, respect for the self as well. So yeah, it can be really, really lovely.
Yeah, I do know that yoga can be a very good community. So
yeah,
even a starting point, you know, to join a yoga class.
Absolutely.
So what is body neutrality, and why might that be helpful for someone who may be experiencing an eating disorder?
So body neutrality is really the removal of positive or negative thoughts. So as well as feelings and kind of the way that we talk about the body and about the self. So it lands us in this space of neutrality, which can often kind of come across as quite bland and ordinary and plain. So when we feel neutrally about something, it occupies a lot less time and space in our lives, because our mind is freed up, you know, to engage in other thoughts and feelings and activities that we do have positive or negative kind of thoughts or feelings about. So when I run a yoga class that's a body neutral themed yoga class, you know, we'll have cues or kind of invitations to just notice that this is how my body moves through space, or this is what my hands look like, you know. So we're not saying, oh, this is, you know, it feels really wonderful to move, or it feels really challenging. We're not putting any type of emotion or any type of label. There's no loaded kind of language in there. We're just peeling it all back, and it's just kind of unbiased fact and observation based.
So very like consciousness based. So like you're just here in your body,
Yeah. Doing
yoga with other people doing the same thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like the simplest way of kind of describing something. It's just like, this is where I am. I'm standing on my mat. End of story.
Yes. I love that. It's definitely coming back to the present as well.
Yes, absolutely. It is. Yeah.
So then what about the power of breath work and meditation?
So with yoga in general, we're really working into what's called polyvagal theory. And the simplest way to explain that is, you know, that we're using breath and movement to actually convince the brain and the body that it's time to calm down. So we're intentionally regulating the arousal in the brain and the body to our advantage. And which when it comes to eating disorders, usually we need to down-regulate or settle rather than activate. Sometimes we do want to activate, absolutely. But so often there is that hypervigilance, hyper-arousal, some agitation, and all of that overthinking. So we're kind of just, I refer to it as kind of like a hack. So it's just like a little hack, these ways of breathing or these ways of moving in which we're hacking into the nervous system and saying, actually, we're ready to calm down. We don't need to be kind of this agitated or this elevated right now.
And it very much slows the brain and the body like at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a really, really cool concept. And I think it's really empowering for people too, to know that they can, you know, hack into their nervous system whenever they want to and actually kind of take back the moment rather than feel like everything is just totally getting away from them and they're really kind of, you know, leaning into the distress or whatever it is.
And long term, that breathing would have an effect on you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's this thing called vagal tone. So we're, you know, just like you would tone a muscle, essentially we're toning this nerve, which helps us to, you know, regulate these things like breath and heart rate, which all in turn help calm us down and settle us and keep our emotions regulated. So absolutely, you know, the more we do it, the easier it is to then access.
So are there any other long-term benefits of yoga?
So what a lot of people find with yoga is that the reason they might first begin to practice then turns into another reason that they want to practice and another reason they want to do yoga and another reason, and it kind of just keeps going. So absolutely, yes, there's, you know, like I just mentioned, kind of, you know, there's the vagal tone, there's relaxation, there's connection to mind body, there's all of those sorts of things, but it really is a practice of kind of perpetual growth and exploration of the self and the world around you, you know, just taking into consideration that yoga is more than just that movement. Yoga is those principles, like I mentioned, ahimsa, you know, nonviolence. It is the breath work. It is enlightenment, is meditation, you know, so you can really kind of traverse all the different levels of it and learn, you know, more and more. We need to remember that, you know, yoga is a very ancient practice and it's a practice that is not invested in outcomes at all. It's all really about that journey.
Definitely. But it still kind of brings that calmness and that peacefulness as well. Like even the benefit that you're not expecting in your relationships as well, you're just a lot more calm and centered.
Yeah, absolutely. It just kind of seeps its way into other aspects of your life. And then suddenly you realize, oh, okay, I think I'm kind of practicing yoga, even though I'm just, you know, walking down the street or I'm just out at the shops or whatever it is.
Definitely. So when might yoga maybe not be a helpful tool in the treatment of an eating disorder?
Absolutely. So really, really great question and a really kind of crucial point to touch on. So yoga can very easily be misused as a way to try and edit weight and shape to, you know, prioritize aesthetics or physical abilities or to compensate for, you know, food and drink intake. So really important for people to ask themselves why they want to do yoga. And if it is the eating disorder answering that question, then perhaps now is not the right time to give it a go. It's also really important to look at the studios and teachers that, you know, you are, you know, looking to engage with. And most of them have an Instagram presence these days, which is really good. So actually go online and have a little bit of a look at who you're going to be engaging with, you know, see if the things that they post about or what they do, if that resonates with you, if they kind of represent things like body neutrality or, you know, things like, you know, trauma-informed movement, trauma-informed practices, you know, have a look at kind of how they teach. There are so many yoga teachers out there. So it's really imperative that you find someone that you can connect with and that can kind of nurture what it is that you need from the practice, because otherwise it can be really, really dangerous. And, you know, like I said, there are a lot of people that unfortunately do misuse yoga because they're just not quite perhaps ready for the rest of what yoga has to offer them. They're kind of stuck on that this is a movement practice and, you know, seeking specific outcomes.
And yoga is always there to come back to, you know, when you're ready.
Absolutely. Or it could be about practicing those other aspects of yoga instead of the movement. So, you know, prioritizing that breath, that meditation, looking at the principles and kind of philosophies as well.
Yeah, visualization, meditation as well also. Yeah. Like, it can't even say similar because they're so different, but like, yeah, they're both, they do cross over.
Absolutely.
Mm. So then how important is it to have a yoga instructor who understands the effects of an eating disorder?
So I'm probably biased, but I think it's crucial. You know, when you're a yoga teacher, you have a duty of care to the students who attend your class. And eating disorders are really a growing issue. They are life-threatening. They are very often invisible. You know, we cannot just look at somebody and assume we know what's happening for them. So understanding them, having empathy and having caution as well is really essential. So what I often, you know, say to other yoga teachers is we're not going to say, hey, you can't come to my class, but we're going to say, hey, I've got an idea about a better class that might be suitable for you at the moment. You know, you are allowed to, as a yoga teacher, ask for, you know, a doctor's certificate to say, yes, I'm well enough to participate. It's just the same as what you would kind of do if someone came in with a severe heart condition or, you know, any medical concerns. It's really important that we ask the questions and ask the question, you know, as a teacher asking, what is this person hoping that yoga will do for their eating disorder? How are they hoping it will help them? And kind of being able to navigate, you know, which classes they attend, sort of like that.
And you're only asking because you care about their safety.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm. So what does yoga mean to you then?
So to me, yoga really means connection, and that's connection to myself and connection to others as well. So actually some of my best friends who I talk to pretty much every day, I met through yoga. So that's a really, really wonderful gift that yoga has given me, which is outside of movement, outside of breath, outside of all of those things, it's given me friendship and community. For me, it also means permission to rest and to settle and to be exactly who I am in, you know, the moments that I'm practicing.
I love that. Yeah, every time when I do yoga, I love it when the instructor says coming back to the heart. And then that one just reminds me to like come back. And I always like, oh, yes, coming back.
Yeah. Really, you know, and that teacher might not know what a powerful phrase that is that, you know, you go home with every time. And that's really special.
It really is. So do you have any advice for someone who may be struggling with an eating disorder and is considering trying out yoga?
Absolutely. So if you don't have, you know, access to kind of a trauma-informed class or something like that, and you're going to go to your local studio, I would really start out with what's called a yin yoga class. And that's a class that's centered around, you know, long holds of shapes and stretches and relaxation. So it's not about sort of strength or sweaty dynamic movement. It can be a type of yoga that's really challenging at first because there's a lot of space for your thoughts to come in. But once you get into it, yin is absolutely gorgeous and a really, really gentle way to connect with the body and help settle the mind. Often you go a couple of times and you'll be like, I hate this. And then you'll start to get into it and be like, okay, now I start to, you know, really enjoy it. So it's pretty much the only type of yoga I practice these days. I'm just not interested in kind of the sweaty stuff anymore. I just want to lie on my mat and, you know, lie in some, you know, stretchy, lovely shapes and really just kind of feel peaceful.
Yeah, I do yin yoga as well.
Yeah, it's so great.
So good. Oh, I love it. So on a final question, where can people get access to recovery classes?
So at the moment, I'm still kind of warming up to things after a few months on leave, but I do have some online classes and workshops that are coming up. People can always check my website or my Instagram. And then if that's not local or not accessible to them, then there's some really wonderful other teachers working in the space, or they are eating disorder informed. And so they're really wonderful to practice with as well. So I'm always very happy for people to reach out to me and I can suggest or recommend a studio that's really lovely and welcoming and safe that kind of aligns well with them. So always happy for people to reach out and ask the question.
And I'll add all your links below as well.
Awesome.
So thank you so much for that interview.
Thank you.
Yes, it's been amazing. Oh, I love yoga and I'm so glad that I had you to talk about it.
Yeah. It's you know, when I was looking at kind of starting it, there's not that much out there.
No.
There's been a couple of people like here and there that have started something and it hasn't really lasted very long. You know, there's not much research on it either, but there was some awesome research that did just come out of America from a group called Eat, Breathe, Thrive that did a big study on the impact of yoga on eating disorder recovery. So it's really cool. And they're starting kind of a little bit of a training program for people as well.
It really does have such a major impact though. It depends on the individual and if they take to it, but yes, a lot of people really find that yoga is the thing that kind of brings them back.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's been really important for me in my own wellness and my own recovery. And, you know, like I mentioned, the relationship you have with it changes over time and what you need from it changes and what you are getting from it changes, which is just a really cool aspect.
Another element to the relationship with yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
More of what we need.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Amy.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for coming on and I'll let you get on with your day.
Awesome. Thanks so much. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that's the end of today's episode. Please subscribe, leave us a comment or a review. If you would also like to learn more about Body Matters services, you can check out our website at bodymatters.com.au. Thanks for listening.